Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory this morning. Father, you know exactly what's going on in this sanctuary at this very second. You know what's on each and every person's heart. You know why the people are doing what they're doing all over the world. And so, Father God, we place everything into your hands, knowing that you have total and complete control of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I was watching Catherine Kuhlman yesterday. I just ran across her listening to something else. And I was really excited because she was talking about something that I believe with all my heart. And she was saying about 90% of the people sitting in the house of God don't really speak in spiritual tongues, that it's a copycat type thing of tongues. And she said they really think that they have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they really don't. And she was giving her testimony how she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then she taught on that. And I agree with everything. I said, thank God somebody else thinks the way I think. And, you know, she says that, you know, somebody can't teach you how to speak in tongues. You know, you either the Holy Spirit drops it on you or he doesn't. And you don't have to be wandering around, walking around speaking in tongues so everybody thinks you're holy, because that doesn't make you holy. Mm-hmm. There's an awful lot of religious tongues going on, and people think they're okay and they're not. And I hope you're not one of those. I just hope you understand that if God doesn't give it to you, man can't give it to you. And when you conjure it up, then you don't have it. And I'm, you know, so just don't go wandering around trying to find something that you're not going to find. When God wants to drop the Holy Spirit on you, he will. What happened on the day of Pentecost? God dropped the Holy Spirit on them. They all spoke in a different language. People couldn't understand him. They had a true infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this really is what's the problem is in the house of God, is people don't have the true infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they think they do. And they're out there doing stuff in their flesh instead of under the anointing of God. You know, and then, and she says too, and this is, you know, you should never, the one big sin is grieving the Holy Spirit. And too many people are grieving the Holy Spirit because they don't really have the Holy Spirit. And they're out there doing dumb stuff, this grieving God, you know, because God told me they're trampling all over the Holy Spirit. He told me that about 10 years ago, and that's why he withdrew the Holy Spirit from the church, because they said they were trampling all over it. Let's not be pretend Christians. Let's truly be filled with the Spirit, you know, truly filled by God and not by some man or some woman. And let's just go ahead and move in the Spirit, because that's the only way we're going to be able to do the works that God's calling us forth to do. And you know me, I will not call you up here and say, ba, 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 and boo, boo, boo. You know, I had so much that when I was first born again, I couldn't even hardly stand it. But I got my true infilling years ago, and I didn't even know it. And maybe some of you did too. You know, when you were younger, you know, God fell upon you and you cried. And, you know, this is what the testimony she was giving us. When people get the true infilling of the Holy Spirit, they cry for about 3 days. And I've thought about Brother Adam when he said he was in Florida. He was born again at that point, but then he had to work out his salvation. Walk out of salvation. So, you know, we're going to be teaching other people, right? Let's teach them properly. Let's not give them something from out in left field somewhere. And if you speak in tongues, that's wonderful. If you're born again, that's more than wonderful. You know, but so don't sit here and let the devil say, see, you're not born again. See, you're speaking in tongues is up the devil. You know, because I know that's going through some of your minds, and that's why do you allow the devil to do that? I'm trying to teach you something here. And God is wanting to use everybody he sends through this door is supposed to be a leader. And you are supposed to be learning how to be a leader so you can go out there and minister to other people. So this morning I'm going to teach on humility because God said his body does not have humility. And we're going to be reading a lot of scripture so that whenever you teach other people about humility, you'll know where the scriptures are at and you can teach it properly. All right, James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And 1 Peter 5:5 through 7 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We don't like that word submit either. I know when I was first born again, that's all I heard. Went to a church, submit, 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 submit. And I went home and I said, God, why is that all they ever talk about? And he said, if they really loved me and were really following me, you would never hear the word submit. And he said, the reason why you hear it all the time is because nobody is submitting to nothing and they don't really love me and they're not following me and they're walking in their own flesh. And so they're going after telling you, you have to submit, you have to submit. And you know, if you're really born again and if you're really walking with God, you are submissive, aren't you? And you just automatically, it's just something comes from God, you automatically submit to what God is calling you forth to do. How many of you, maybe you're not old enough, but you used to hear the men say, submit to me, woman. You've heard that, right? When I was growing up, I heard that a lot. Men would say that to women, but they weren't using scripture properly. All right, then Numbers 12:3 says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Moses was humble according to God's word, but look at all the mistakes he made. So even if you're humble, you're still going to make mistakes. So don't think, oh, well, I'm humble. And if you make a mistake, then right away the devil tells you you're not humble. That's not true. Moses was very submissive to God. He did everything God told him to do, but one thing, and that's what kept him from going into the promised land. And the one thing was he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and God said, for that you won't see the promised land. So all you guys in here, you and girls too, I don't care how high up on the totem pole you are with God, because Moses was there. If you don't do what God tells you to do, you're going to miss out. All right. And I had a couple people say to me this week, well, how come God allows? I thought, we're not going there with this, are we? You know, how come God doesn't heal people? How come God doesn't do this? And I said, why don't you go to God and ask him? Because he's the one who has the answers. And we've taught about that and discussed that until we need to move past that now. And we need to just walk in the knowledge we know and do what God's telling us to do. And Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if the burden you're carrying is heavy, then that's not from God. I know that because one time I was working with a woman and she was about ready to go into, you know, lose her mind. And I said, God, I said, she's really in a bad way. What is the problem here? He said, because she's carrying a burden she should not be carrying. He said, I never put that burden on her. So I went and explained it to her. And so she gave it to God. And then she was fine, but she really was getting ready to be put into a mental institution because she was trying to carry something. And God did not want her. Her husband divorced her. And of course, she was blaming herself, this, that, and the other. And a lot of things occurred, but it just about put her in a mental hospital. People, make sure that the burden isn't heavy. The burden you're carrying, make sure it's from God. And what did he say here? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 13:3-7, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Now listen to what the scripture's telling you. Jesus knew. Do you know? Do you know? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Now, Jesus Christ, the most powerful man ever to walk on the face of the earth, was also the most humble man who ever lived. His agenda was never to promote himself, but to please his Father by loving and serving others. See, it hits this John 13:3-7 starts out, Jesus knew. How many times, in fact, God gave a prophetic word about that. Jesus knew who he was and therefore didn't bother him to go wash the disciples' feet and become their servant, because he knew he was the Son of God and he knew he was sent here to do a mission or assignment, whatever you want to call it. Too many people still in the body of Christ don't know who they are in Christ, and that is why the enemy can walk all over them. Are you understanding that? Jesus summarized his mission statement in these words, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission, to seek and save the lost. For then in Mark, that was in Luke 19:10, and then in Mark 10:45, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Too many people in the body of Christ want to be served when you're supposed to become a servant. You want somebody to look up to you and to respect you and to do for you, wait on you hand and foot. And if you're a true child of God, that's not why you're here. You're here to be the servant to others and teach them of the ways of God. But the first thing you have to know is to know that you know that you know. And I've told you this many times about myself. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I know that God has sent me here to do a work. And I know what that he is with me and he's leading, guiding, and directing me. Until you get that down in your spirit, the devil's always going to harass you, always. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. And he knew he had all power and all authority, and he had all the legions of angels in heaven that could help him. But he didn't call on all that. He became a servant. All right? It is one thing to claim to be a servant, but it is another to be treated as one. Christ's humility was evident in his perfect obedience to the authority and will of his Father. You know, God always told me, never vindicate yourself, daughter. I will vindicate you. And for the first time in my walk with God yesterday, I wanted to vindicate myself. Have you ever been there? And I said, God, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I know you're going to vindicate me. I'll just be quiet. So if you feel like vindicating yourself, God says, don't do that. He will vindicate you. And it's in the word. He will vindicate you in due time. And if that's all you want is to be vindicated, then there's something wrong with your walk with God. You just like me, when I said, God, I'm really sorry that I even went there, you know, so I repented for that, and I'm fine. But do you repent for wanting to be vindicated? Do you drop it, and do you move on? There's a difference. People are not going to understand you. If they're not walking with God, they're not going to understand you. You have to get that down in your spirit, too. They are not going to understand why you do what you do. Why? Because you're different. God called you because and made you different. Are you listening here this morning? If we're walking in the love of God, that's really all we need to be concerned about. And just like Catherine Kuhlman said, she said, when she ministers for 4 or 5 hours at a time, they say, aren't you tired? She said, no, because I'm not doing the work. I'm just standing here watching what God does. And that is so true. In all the years we always had revival, it was God that was doing the work, not us, not me. You know, he just would do what he wanted to do. He had full rule and reign. And this way he should be in your life. God, I'm just your vessel that opens a door. And then you do whatever you want to do with the people that come through the door. Are you listening here? All right. Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And Hebrews 5:8 tells us that, and always sought to glorify the Father and not himself. You hear that? Always sought to glorify the Father, not himself. And Hebrews 5:7-10 says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. See what Jesus prayed to God. You see that? And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus suffered on the earth. And one time, whenever God told me that if you were his child, you would suffer, and I told that to my pastor, she just about excommunicated me. Told me never to say that because Christians don't suffer. Yes, they do. It tells you so in your word. So I had to know who I was. I had to know that God, you know, was with me and talking through me, or I would have been devastated many, many times in my walk with God. And this is why you're devastated when people come against you, is because you don't know who you truly are in Christ Jesus. And right now you have to understand the devil is using every weapon of his arsenal that he has to try to destroy every leader that God has called forth. He is just trying, you know, just like with Kelly, his marriage this coming up. I was sitting back there and then Aaron prophesied about it. God showed me there was something in you that was trying to destroy the wedding from happening. The devil will do whatever. So you know you're called of God. You know this marriage is called of God because it was being fought. I don't know if it still is, but it was being fought at that point. And see, when we're being fought, instead of us getting all upset, we should be rejoicing because that shows us that we truly are called of God, and the enemy's trying to take us out of the hands of God. All right. And I know sometimes we have to go do a little bit before we say, well, God, I know why I'm being fought, but don't stay sniffling, you know, rise back up again and, you know, and keep walking. All right. After exhorting the Philippians to lay aside their personal interests and focus on the needs of others, see that? The Apostle Paul tells us how to follow the example of Christ in Philippians 2:5-11. In your relationships, Paul says, with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I'm the pastor, you will honor me, is what this is saying. That's not the way it goes. Rather, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. From this beautiful passage, we learn three things about Jesus that model for us the essence of true humility. Do you understand that Jesus walked the earth for 33 years? And not many people acknowledge that he was the Christ. Everybody came, a lot of people came against him. And he really and truly was not honored until he died on that cross. So that tells me that a lot of us have not yet died on our cross. In other words, we haven't given up the flesh yet. And once we give up the flesh, then God will honor us. And God will see that we get the honor that is due us. If you're seeking honor, you're never going to get it. That is not your job here on earth. Your job here on earth is to save souls. All right? All right, I said from this beautiful passage, we learned three things about Jesus that model for us the essence of true humility. First, Jesus didn't selfishly cling to the outer expression of his divinity. He didn't say, well, I'm the Son of God, so you'll bow to me. He didn't do that. Instead, he took the form of a servant. A humble leader doesn't flaunt their position or power. A humble leader doesn't flaunt their position or power. Instead, they identify with the weakest member of the team. See that? You don't go to a person in the church that everybody just adores and worships. You go to the one that nobody wants to talk to and to fellowship, and that's the one you work with and fellowship with them. Second thing is Jesus demonstrated humility through obedience to God the Father. A humble leader doesn't impose their will on God, but submits to God's commands. God, you need to do this. How many of us are guilty of that? Then I'll say, God, you don't have to do anything, but I sure would appreciate if you would do it. You know, and I know some of you have said that too, right? All right, the third thing is Jesus waited for his Father to lift him up. A humble leader doesn't grab for power or position. They patiently wait for God to increase their influence. See that? Let's read that again because some of you are guilty of this. Jesus waited for his Father to lift him up. A humble leader doesn't grab for power or position. They patiently wait for God to increase their influence. You know, I just have to be very honest with you. There's been many, many times through the time that I've had, you know, been the pastor of the Lighthouse, that people have come in and God's, you know, gifted them and everything, and all of a sudden they think they're greater than I am. And they think that they can do a better job than I do. And so I say over the pulpit, well, if you think if you're ready and you can do a better job, you need to go get your own church. And then do whatever you think you need to do in your own church. Don't sit and try to take somebody else's church because God placed that pastor in that church, not you. See this? And some of you are getting ready to start churches. You're going to have to know this, that somebody's always going to think, well, I'm hearing God say, usurp your authority. They're always going to think you should have preached it differently. You should have done this and you should have done that. You should have done the other. But you know, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're doing it the way God wants it done. All right. We need different personalities in the pulpit. And you know, right now there's a war on about this new music we've been playing. Well, the churches are really upset about it. They think we've turned to the devil and everything else. And it's a mess if you really read about it. And it's the older people that don't want to change. And it's the younger people that God's bringing in. So we have to. So what God is doing is he is working with the young people's hearts through the music. It's always been through the music. And you have to learn to put your hymnals away, and you have to learn to let the Spirit of God move, and so God can do the things he wants to do. Are you listening? I want each and every one of you to learn to walk in the Spirit and only do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. You know, Aaron's still trying to learn how to do this praise and worship. So he sent me one praise and worship. And I said, no, the first two don't gel with me. And so he did another. And I said, I'm going to let this go and just let, you know. That's the only way he's going to learn. But you have to, when I was doing songs for, you know, praise and worship, and I would always sit and God would tell me what songs to put together. Sometimes it would be hours, but God knows exactly how he wants the words to go. And he knows exactly what who's going to be there. And he knows exactly how it's going to move the hearts. All right. You know, you might want to do one thing your way, but God will say, no, you know, and I'm just talking about everyday life. God said, no, don't do it that way. I want you to do it this way, but I want to do it this way because I want you to do it this way. So we have to let God do what he wants to do. And we think it's all right the way we're doing it, but it's not. Just like Kelly and her husband, or your future husband, God's been leading their marriage, you know, ceremony all the way. And I think that's powerful. And I wouldn't tell them they had to change anything for anything in the world, because the Holy Spirit of God is in this. And you don't let nobody else change it either. The Holy Spirit is orchestrating this whole thing. If the body of Christ just learned to let God orchestrate everything, we would be further along in our walk with God than what we are. All right. After Jesus began his ministry, he demonstrated humble service to others in the miracles he performed. Oh, I missed something there, didn't I? Jesus' incarnation, right? Jesus' incarnation was in itself a profound act of humility, let alone his death on a cross. He didn't come as a king, but as a helpless infant. See, when God calls us, we want to be on the top instantly. And we don't realize we have this line upon line and precept upon precept until God puts us on the top. Or, you know, come on. You're not going to be out there in the limelight overnight. If that's what you're looking for, then you're not in God's service for the right reason. God has to work out all the insecurities and impurities out of us before he moves us on. Like I was telling Johnny this morning, I said, I don't know why I get upset, because then I have to go around apologizing. He said, you don't have to apologize to anybody. I said, yeah, I did. You know, I already did it. But, you know, so why even get upset? Because then you have to go around and retrace and apologize and, you know, because you're supposed to be a child of God and not go there, right? So I'm trying not to go there as often. All right, so after Jesus began his ministry, he demonstrated humble service to others in the miracles he performed, as well as in his instruction to his disciples. Although he was perfectly God and perfectly human at the same time, you'll find that in John 1:14, Jesus lived his life as a humble laborer. He says in the word, he doesn't have a home, no place to lay his head. Right? But yet he still, do you ever think about how many miles he must have walked along those dusty streets and fields and roads and stuff to preach the gospel, repent, and to show the love of Jesus? And when the time came for Jesus to die, he submitted to his Father's divine will. Now look what he says in Mark 14:36. And Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. He said, Father, you can do anything you want to do. Then he said, please take this. Don't make me go to the cross. But then he said, yet not what I will, but what you will. And, you know, I was I whined a lot when I was first born again. And I said, God, I said, Jesus only suffered 3 years. And God said to me, what's that to you? Well, and I said, I've been suffering for 5 years. He said, what's that to you? How long my son suffered? You suffer as long as I need you to suffer. I said, don't go telling God, that Jesus only had to suffer 3 years. You're not Jesus. That was his lot in life, to only be 33 years old and die, and only to suffer 3 years. What is your lot in life? Are you satisfied with what God is doing with you? You know, are you content in the place God has you, whether you're in the fire or whether you're out in the deep of the waters just having a good time? A lot of us say we're not content unless we're out there just playing like a little kid in the puddle of water. But God, what it has to take us through that furnace of affliction over and over and over again to burn out all the chaff that comes our way. And I don't care who you are, you have chaff in you. And don't say you don't. It's there. And you have to ask God, please take this stupid thing away from me. I'm sick and tired of it always rearing up its ugly head. Right? Come on. We're never going to be perfected till we get to heaven. And God is trying to perfect us so we can go to heaven. So why do you think you're going to walk in perfection? All right, now seated in power at the right hand of God, Jesus intercedes on our behalf. That is in Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostle answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." See what he said there? "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So you and I both can say, see, just from that statement right there, that when you're first born again, and you know, they call you to the altar, mass production, and then say this prayer after me. Now you're born again, go back and sit down. It says here, God has given to those who obey him. People who just become born again don't know to obey God. They really don't. So this is a process. And I believe with all of my heart, there are certain people born in this world who at their mother's womb, they are anointed and God fills them with the Holy Spirit. At some point in their life, they don't even understand what's going on. And then as they get older and more mature, then God places them in leadership. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You have to stop and think about, you know, I really think God says don't look back, but every now and then I think you need to look back and see where you were, what God did for you. I do this, and what God did for you, how he saved you from death many times, how he let you go through the mud hole every now and then, you know, and just see how good God's been to you. And then it's at that point you can really say, God, I love you, and you're really a true father. But people never stop to think, well, somebody said I'm born again, somebody said I'm saved, so I'm good to go. And then they never grow, and seeing that's not true. All right, as the perfect model for godly leadership, Jesus set the perfect example of humility because he knew who he was. He was secure enough to serve others. Now, how many of you here don't know who you are in Christ Jesus? And that's why you're having a struggle in helping other people. Instead of helping them, you get upset with them. You know, you do all kind of dumb things. And God really wants you to help them. I'm in that boat. I get in that boat. I really get disgusted and want to throw you to the back out into the water, you know, somebody else fish you in. I mean, I get there, and you know, you'll get there too. And when I was really young, like y'all are, and in the Lord, and I would say, why is that pastor upset with him? But I learned why. Some fish just stink. And they have to keep dunking them over and over again until all that fish smell gets away from them. Amen. All right, John, okay. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility leads to honor. So before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility leads to honor. So you have to become humble if you expect God to honor you. Then Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. When accompanied by their fear of God, humility leads to riches, honor, and life. So if you're having a struggle and you're not getting anywhere, maybe you aren't humble enough yet. I have literally cried out to God, make me more humble. I have. Because every now and then I don't think I'm humble enough. And, you know, if I start looking at people through my eyes, I said the eyes of Christ, and I really see what's driving them, I don't feel like I'm humble enough because I'm judging. And we need to quit doing that. And that's not an easy thing to do. It really is not. Because that's why God says the greatest love is to love those who are unlovable. If you can love those who are unlovable, then you've reached humility. If you can let them walk, if you don't get upset when they walk all over you, then you've reached humility. And God will tell you when to stop being a doormat. He will. He won't always allow that to go on. But he does allow it to go on to a certain extent. Then he said, enough is enough. And he draws a line in the sand. That's what he does with me. All right, I want you to reflect on this. In what way does your understanding of your identity relate to the issue of humility in your life? Ask God to help you follow Jesus' example as you seek to demonstrate the kind of humility that will cause others to see Jesus in you. You know, if you're truly a humble person, you won't be always be nitpicking somebody else. You won't always see their flaws. You know what I'm saying? You know they have flaws, but you won't always see them, and you won't be always looking for them. Instead, when you see they have one flaw, what you'll be doing is asking God to take them into his hands instead of start perfecting them. Instead, we see one flaw and we say, I know there's other flaws there. Then you start looking for another flaw. Next thing you know, you're tearing your brother or your sister apart. And that's not humility. Not everybody you meet is going to love you. And not everybody you meet is going to understand what you're saying to them. They're not going to understand your love for God. And they're not going to understand why, you know, I'll just say they're homeless. If God loves us much, why is it letting them sit on the street? You know, people just aren't going to understand. And you're just going to have to be like Jesus and just be patient with them. And just let the love of Christ shine through. And you know, when you fail and don't let the love of Christ shine through, you really do bruise a soul. You really do. And I know life is getting harder to live, isn't it? It's getting darker. More bad things are happening. And about the time you think you've got a handle on something, you find out there's another handle to grab hold of that you have to work out. But God is calling us to stay humble before him through all of our tests and all of our trials and all this dumb junk. And we are going through some dumb junk, are we not? We have to come to grips with this. We're going through some dumb junk. And I don't care who you are. You get affected just like everybody else does. You are not exempt from what's going on in the world. In fact, if you're called by God, you are right in the very center of it. And sometimes you say, God, I need more wisdom here. I need more discernment. I might even need a legion of angels right now. I said that last night. I said, I need as many angels as you can send to me right now. You know? And see, people sitting in the house of God want to make you believe that everything's just fine. They don't have no problems. How many of you, when you first went into a church, you and the pastor were sitting up there, they were just God. They had no problems, and you were trying to meet up to their, you know, to who they were, and you couldn't because they really weren't who they said they were. They're human. We're all human. And I used to idolize pastors. I really did. Until I found out, hey, they get out of bed the same as I do. You know, and they have flesh just like I do. And they do make mistakes. And then I quit that. And then I just treated them like Jesus wanted them treated. Like a human being. You love them. You pray for them, you know. And you just live life naturally. I was, you know, I keep praying about what's going on in America and about what the new government's doing to America. And I've heard this many times, and I've heard, what are you going to do about this? I'm thinking that's me saying that to God. And God the other night told me that was him saying that to me. So the church needs to do something about what the government is doing. So Brother Brett and I talked, and he's going to get something together and show us what we're supposed to be doing. But all this time, see how we do? I thought that was me telling God, what are you going to do about this, God? And all the time he was saying to me, what are you going to do? And very adamantly he said it the other night. And I thought, that's what caught my attention. I thought, boy, that was a little bit loud. And then God said that was him saying that. See, what I'm trying to point to you here is I don't always understand what God is saying. I don't always understand what's going on in my life. And so if you don't, that's fine. That's fine. Because none of us understand everything. God even says that we don't understand his ways. Every one of us do not understand what God is doing. And it's okay not to understand. And see, I think the one thing with the problem of the body is crisis, we're afraid to say we don't understand something. We're afraid to say, well, you know, I messed up, because the body of Christ has taught us that it's not okay to be human, but it's okay to be human. Become humble, like Jesus, like Moses. And let's just, and you know, Peter learned to become humble after Jesus died, didn't they? Paul was humble. And God put all these people in the Bible so we could understand, hey, you're flesh and blood, but you can still overcome everything, negative things that's happening to you, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. So this morning, God wants you to really think about this. Do you really know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you really understand the fullness of what God is calling you forth to do? That it's not going to be a rose garden. You're going to go through the same things that Jesus went through, because you're not better than Jesus. See, I say that because God told me one time, I was complaining. He said, I want you to get in the Word, read everything written in red, which is what Jesus said. Then you come back and we'll talk. I never went back for the conversation, because I didn't go through what Jesus went through. You know, I wasn't going through what he went through. And he was the Son of God. So if the Son of God had to suffer, why couldn't a child of God, why shouldn't a child of God have to suffer? Now, are you ready to rearrange your mind a little bit? Are you really ready to walk with God and to receive whatever God doles out to you in life? We have Brother Brett back there who, you know, he's now walking through something different. And I said, we'll just walk through this together. So we're trying to figure out a good way to eat, to fight the problem. But I don't know why God did this, but since this happened to Brother Brett, I know that everything that happens in our life, it has a good purpose for it. Do you know that? Do you understand everything you went through, Kelly, up to this point in your life, there was a purpose for it? Bad, good, or indifferent, there was a purpose for it. And I'm hearing God say, we need to quit beating ourselves up over some of the things we think we shouldn't have done or didn't do, or, you know, whatever. We need to quit doing that. God knew exactly what we were going to do every second of our life. And if God didn't want you to go down that road, you wouldn't have went down that road. And sometimes God lets us take side roads to teach us a lesson. You know, some people can't have to be taught a lesson. So he's okay. I'm going to swerve here a little bit. I'm going to let you go down this side road. And then whenever you get through with this, you'll be more humble. You'll be more submissive. You'll understand what your walk with me is all about. You know, we look at people who are sick and we think, well, I don't know why God doesn't heal them. So, you know, and you keep judging. And I really believe, and I could be wrong, I would look at heavy set people in a restaurant eating, and I thought, why are they still eating when they're so heavy? I'm being honest now, okay? Or I would see a heavy set person, I'd say, well, why don't they just lose weight? I don't know if that's why this weight won't leave my body. I really don't. But I do know one thing. One day I felt, now you see my people don't lose weight. I heard that. So I might be being taught a lesson, but I sure hope I learn it real quick. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We're surprised at what we do unknowingly, and it comes back to bite us. I want each one of you in here this morning, because I look around, every one of you is a call to be a leader. Every one of you in here, God wants you to learn humility. And he wants you to learn to love those who are unlovable. And quit beating yourself up whenever you think you fail God. Quit beating yourself up, repent, and move on. Now, I'm hearing God say he doesn't really have an altar call. But if you feel like that you want to come up this morning, he wants to give you an extra touch so that you can be humble in all areas of your life, just not one or two, but be humble in all areas of your life and learn quickly the things he's trying to teach you. He's saying, you guys in here, you're all leaders. You know, that might be, you know, this is probably all God wanted, because I'm thinking, where's everybody at this morning? This is, you know, your leaders. This had to be for you. A baby in Christ wouldn't be able to accept this. He's trying to teach you to be just like Jesus. He's trying to teach you that there's more to life than just a title. All right. And Catherine Kuhlman said in the video I was watching, she said, you young people, you see all the glamour, the stage and all the glamour and how everybody just exalts me and everything. She says, but this costs a lot. Costs me a lot. And she was telling them to count the cost. So because God anointed you to be a leader, it's going to cost you a lot. Are you willing to pay that price? And I'm going into my evening's message, so I'll quit. Are you willing to pay the price to be called a child of God? Are you willing to be the price? Are you willing to be, when people look at you, they'll see Jesus in you. They'll see what happened to you. You're not like today. You're not like you were a week ago. There's something in you that's different. And that something in you is different is you're learning to follow God. You're learning to be humble and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. The altar's open if you want that special touch from God this morning.